Starting all over again is gonna be rough. So rough. But we gonna make it. Oh yeah. Starting all over as friends is gonna be tough.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to Surviving and Thriving in the Rough Love Road Marriage and Family Podcast. This is episode number 13. My name is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International. Today, our scripture passage for this episode is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, which states, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are weak, but we know that you're strong. And we pray for your energy, your strength, your unction, your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to share and to teach your holy word and for others to hear it and understand it. We praise you and we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace, your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your holy word. For Jesus Christ's sake, please continue to have mercy upon us, and please forgive us of our sins, our faults, and our failures. And Lord, I pray that you would fill us to share your holy word and to hear your holy word. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to obey your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, allow me to share with you more commentary on this passage from Dr. David Guzik. The big G, to their own husbands in everything. Paul says that the wife should be subject to her husband in everything. Does he really mean everything? This needs to be understood in the same way we understand submission in other spheres. For example, when Paul says in Romans 13 that the Christian must submit to the state, we understand there are exceptions. So what are the exceptions to everything? The big I. When the husband asks or expects the wife to sin, she is free from her obligation to submit. This applies in a place of clearly biblical sin, such as signing a fraudulent tax return, also applies in matters of true Christian conscience. But we must be very careful to distinguish between true Christian conscience and mere opinion. Yet the wife does not have to submit to a request to commit sin or to do evil under no circumstances, because then she would be sinning against God, the ultimate authority. Next, when the husband is medically incapacitated or insane, and I can hear some of you wives saying right now, well, then I know my husband is insane, but anyway, you know the truth, and God knows the truth. So back to the text. She is free from her obligation if he is medically incapacitated or insane. She is free from her obligation to submit. A wife does not have to submit to the requests a husband makes when he is insane or medically incapacitated. Now make sure that the doctor has determined that he's insane, not you. Next, when the husband is physically abusive and endangers the safety of the wife or children, the wife is free from her obligation to submit. She does not have to submit to his violence. Next, when the husband breaks the marriage bond by adultery, obviously a wife does not have to submit to her husband's adultery and just accept it. The Bible says she has the right to come out from under his rank, his authority, in such cases, and is free to marry another. If the husband has been guilty of adultery, the wife is no longer bound to give him obedience in everything. However, if she chooses to stay with her husband, the marriage order is still the same. If she leaves, that's her choice, and she's free to do so if she knows for sure that's the whole case. She can divorce him. She is allowed to do so by Holy Scripture. She is entitled to do so because adultery breaks the unity, breaks the relationship. They are now separate and no longer one. He has broken the unity. He has gone out of it. So we must not interpret this scripture as teaching that the wife is irrevocably, inevitably bound to an adulterous husband for the rest of her life. She may choose to be, that is for her to decide. All I am saying is that this scripture does not command it. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our quote for this episode of the rough love marriage is from Dr. Kevin DeYoung. He says sexuality in the context of heterosexual marriage is not only good, but exclusively good. Only heterosexual marriage relationships can show forth the complementary design of men and women. According to the Apostle Paul, one of the purposes of marriage is to show forth the mystery of Christ and the church, Ephesians 5:32. If marriage can be construed as a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, what is left of the glorious mystery of Christ and the Church? We are left with only Christ and Christ, or Church and Church. My. Now, dear friends, when you hear black preachers say my, that is an amazing statement. I wouldn't personally say it like that, because I'm very careful about mentioning the name of Christ in things and the name of God, but I know what he's saying, and I think you know what he's saying. And so, beloved, in this podcast today, we're using the late John R. Rice's classic book, The Home, Courtship, Marriage, and Children. That's about the size of it, isn't it? A Bible manual of 22 chapters on the Christian home. If you can get this book, I would recommend it to you and that you read it together at the beginning of your marriage. We continue, beloved, with chapter 1, Marriage and Home, part 11. The big number, Roman number, numeral rather, 2. Why should people marry? Continued. 5th, people ought to marry because they fall in love. Certainly, people should never marry who do not love. It is true that falling in love is not enough reason for marriage. No matter how much you love someone, it would be foolish and wicked and disastrous to marry that one unless certain other requirements were met. All these homes that are broken by divorce, do you think that they were not established on love? And this is something that I have brought up myself many times. Isn't it amazing how people love one another? They say they have fallen in love, and just a few years later, they have fallen out of love to the point of hating each other and calling each other's names and despising each other and hate the ground they walk on and get a divorce. Dr. Rice goes on to say, I say that love is not enough. We will deal further with that later, he says. Yet, certainly love is essential to a happy marriage. And when people love as they ought, that is a compelling reason for marriage. I remember the long 4 years when I wrote a letter to my sweetheart almost every day, except those few months that we were in school together. And when I could see her daily, I never read a book that blessed me but that I wanted her to read it. Usually I sent the book to her with my notations on the margin of the pages. I never ate pleasant fruit, but I wanted her to share it. I never smelled sweet flowers, but that I wanted her to have their fragrance. Oh, love is a compelling thing. I longed and dreamed for the time to come when we could live together and never be parted anymore. I wanted her in my sight. I wanted to hear her voice. I wanted to share her joys and help bear her sorrows, this beloved of mine. Love is a compelling reason for marriage, and may I add here, love is a many splendid thing. And people ought not to marry unless they love one another. And may I say like that. But God sends love. If it be a holy love, and if it be approached according to His will, love is one reason for marriage. From these things, let us conclude that in ordinary cases, God intends men and women to marry, and that in most cases, marriage is the happiest way of life, provided it be marriage according to God's will, marriage, therefore, with His blessing. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we praise You and we thank You so much for this time together with Your Holy Word as You speak to us about one of the most wonderful gifts You've given to us as human beings, and that is the benefit and the blessing of marriage and family. Lord, I would not trade it for anything in the world. And I give You the glory, praise, and honor for it. We pray, Lord, that You would save the lost, revive the saved, strengthen families on the foundation of Your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for His sake. Amen.
Now, dear friend, if you and your family do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, here's how to trust Him as your Savior today. Because without Jesus Christ, without salvation, you will never have a truly happy, successful, wonderful family life. He's the one who makes the difference. He's the one who made the difference in our marriage and family, and He's the only one who can make a difference, the difference, in your marriage and family. That's just guaranteed. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Holy Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So hell, dear friend, is bad news. Hell is not the place you need to go to, or that you should want to go to. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with Him. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart to save your soul, and He will save you. Romans 10, 9 and 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. All you have to do, dear friend, is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world for you and me. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. And pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. If you want to be saved today, believe in your heart on Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save your soul today. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have even broken your Ten Commandments by lying, by stealing, by dishonoring my parents, by taking your holy name in vain, by lusting after people and things, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins and my transgressions, as I now believe with all of my heart on you, Lord Jesus. I believe with all of my heart that you died for my sins, you suffered, you bled, and you died for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, and to start living for you. Amen. Until next time, my beloved, God bless you and keep you.